Good morning. I'm Guy Huber, and I'm a member of your church council. I would like to welcome everyone to our worship service today, both members and guests alike, and a special warm welcome to those of you from around the world who are in worship with us this morning through our live streams at holytrinitybuffalo.org. These are the announcements we have this week. Pastor Miller will be away this week serving as chaplain at Silver Bay. He will be back with us next Sunday. Pastor Maynor will be also away this week. She will be teaching at LCLC. The Fellowship and Hospitality Committee are sponsoring our annual Holy Trinity Golf outing on Monday, July 29th at Tantera Golf Club. Cost for the day is $60. We also have a cost for just lunch if you'd like to come out or have lunch and ride. Please see me or Craig Johnson or call the church office to make your reservation. Vacation Bible School runs from August 19th through the 23rd. Registration and volunteer forms can be found outside of the table on the church by the church doors. Finally, many thanks to Jackie Chow, our guest organist this morning. Jackie is a student at the Eastman School of Music pursuing a master's degree in organ performance in the studio of David Higgs. Jackie has been featured on the radio program Pipe Dreams, and most recently performed as part of the Buffalo Niagara AGO convention. Let's give her a nice welcome. Thank you. Check your bulletin for other announcements. Have a great Sunday.
Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who forgives all our sin, whose mercy endures forever. Amen. Seeking reconciliation with God and neighbor, let us remember the gift of baptism and confess our sin. God of mercy, we confess that we have sinned against you and against one another. We are worried and distracted by many things, and we fail to love you above all else. We store up treasures for ourselves and turn away from our neighbors in need. Forgive us that we may live in the freedom of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. When we were laid low by sin and guilt, God made us alive together with Christ, forgiving us all our trespasses by taking our sins to the cross. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Rejoice in this good news. Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Together. O Lord God, your mercy delights us, and the world longs for your loving care. Hear the cries of everyone in need, and turn our hearts to love our neighbors with the love of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Thank you.
me? Yay! I don't know if I'm more happy to see you guys here or not. We're going to sit right here, and I'll tell you why, because you guys weren't here last week. So, this year,
for our children's time, Pastor Miller and I have decided that we are going to let you guys ask us anything you want about Jesus, God, the Bible, church. Why do we do the things we do here at Holy Trinity? So if you guys don't have any questions, I'm totally okay with that. But if you want to try to stump the pastor, Pastor Miller will be back next week. Or you can ask me anything and I will try to answer it. And if I don't have an answer for you, I will get an answer and bring it back to you. So is there any burning questions you have about God or Jesus or anything about this church stuff we do? Nothing? Nothing whatsoever? So last week, they asked if Jesus had a father. And Pastor answered that very well. So, I mean, it could even be something like that. Nothing? You know it all. No. Oh, no. No. Stand up. If you're going to do that, stand up. Introduce yourself. What's your name? How you doing?
Oh, hi. I'm Ethan. We wanted to know, could you explain the Trinity?
I can attempt to. Yes. So this is a very difficult question. And the good news is that my answer is, no, I can't. And I'm confident in that because nobody can. So God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit, we say, are three in one, which means that at the same time, they're three different individuals of the same thing. But they're different. But they're the same. But they're different. And they're the same. But the thing is that Jesus and God is mysterious. And that we don't know all the things that God does or how God works. That we have this faith that has been put in us through Jesus, that it just is what it is. And so I tell all those kids back there that are don't want to come up and participate in this time of children's time, that you just trust that it is. And so we talk about that they're all of the same essence or being, that what makes them up is the same, but then we see it in different ways, and people don't quite understand that because we don't know what God looks like, but then there's Jesus. Well, then what's the difference between God that we don't see and Holy Spirit that we don't see, because they're two different things, but they're the same thing, but they're two different things, but they're the same thing? And I don't have an answer. I can't tell you. It's been stumping people since we decided that there was the Trinity, that there's no answer. There's no good answer. And we just have to trust that God works the way God works, and that the Spirit works the way the Spirit works, and that Jesus is who Jesus says he is, and that eventually one day when we get to meet God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit together in one and separate in their own, because they're the same and they're different, that we can ask them. So Ethan, when you get to those pearly gates one day, you can say, Peter, I need to see the big man upstairs. I got a question for him. I want to know about this Holy Trinity thing, because God is a mystery, and we just trust that it works. That's a good one. Thanks. Thanks a lot. Do you have anything else? No? What about you? No. Well, I will plug a little VBS action going on now. Vacation Bible School's coming up. I'm super excited for it. We're going to learn all kinds of stories about it. So maybe you can go home and find some stories that interest you in the Bible. Or as you're sitting in church today, you can be like, why does Pastor Brenda do these weird things at weird times, like body and bread, and Jesus is in these little wafers? How does that happen? And you can come back in a couple weeks and ask Pastor Brenda those things. All right, can we pray and then I'll let you go back and sit down because I got nothing. If you guys got no questions, I got nothing. All right, let's pray. Can we pray? Good and gracious God, thank you for giving us this day, for allowing us the time and being gracious enough to not totally understand everything that you tell us we should do. We're not totally understanding who you are or what we're supposed to be or how we were created or this whole Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three in one and one in three, and you're separate and different, and thank you. Without these mysterious wonderings and imaginative thinking, we put you in a box, and the creation just wouldn't be as wonderful. We wouldn't be able to experience you in all the ways that we do, whether it's in the sunshine or in the rain, during the snow, in cracks in the sidewalk where flowers pop up, however we encounter you. We're glad that you're there. We're glad that you've left some mystery to us. And thank you for just creating us as who we are. Amen. All right, kiddos.
The first reading for the fifth Sunday after Pentecost is recorded in Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter. The Lord your God will make you abundantly prosperous in all your undertakings, in the fruit of your body, in the fruit of your livestock, and in the fruit of your soil. For the Lord will again take delight in prospering you, just as he delighted in prospering your ancestors. When you obey the Lord your God by observing his commandments and decrees that are written in this book of the law, because you turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Surely this commandment that I am commanding you today is not too hard for you, nor is it too far away. It is not in heaven that you should say, "Who will go up to heaven for us and get it for us so that we may hear it and observe it?" Neither is it beyond the sea that you should say, "Who will cross to the other side of the sea for us and get it for us so that we may hear it and observe it?" No, the word is very near to you. It is in your mouth and in your heart for you to observe. Thanks be to God. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul.
My God, I put my trust in you. Let me not be put to shame.
Let none who look to you be put to shame. Rather, let those be put to shame who are treacherous.
Show me your way, O Lord, and teach me your paths.
Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. In you I have trusted all the day long.
Remember, O Lord, your compassion and love, for they are.
Remember not the sins of my youth and my transgressions. Remember me according to your steadfast love and for the sake of your goodness, O Lord.
You are gracious and upright, O Lord. Therefore, you teach sinners in your way.
You lead the lowly in justice and teach the lowly your way.
All your paths, O Lord, are steadfast love and faithfulness to those who keep your covenant.
The second reading for today is recorded in Colossians, the first chapter. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers and sisters in Christ in Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. In our prayers for you, we always thank God, for the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. You have heard of this hope before in the word of the truth, the gospel that has come to you. Just as it is bearing fruit and growing in the whole world, so it has been bearing fruit among yourselves from the day you heard it and truly comprehended the grace of God. This you learned from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, and he has made known to us your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard it, we have not ceased praying for you and asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may lead lives worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, as you bear fruit in every good work and as you grow in the knowledge of God. May you be strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power, and may you be prepared to endure everything with patience, while joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to St. Luke, the 10th chapter. Just then a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And he answered him, "What is written in the law? What do you read there?" And the man answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And Jesus said to him, "You have given the right answer. Do this, and you will live." But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers, who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, 'Take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend.' Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" And the man said, "The one who showed him mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." This is the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. And I ask that you pray first with me this morning. Good and gracious God, thank you for waking us up and giving us this day, for gathering us here again into your word and at this meal. In our loneliness and brokenness, we encounter your compassion and mercy. Help us to see our neighbors and empower us to show the same compassion and mercy to those who are marginalized and oppressed. And all these things we ask in your Son's name, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. So I would like to try and stretch your thinking this morning. I invite you to close your eyes, take a few deep breaths in and out, in and out, in and out. Now I'm going to tell you a story. And I want you to imagine yourself in this story. You're walking along the road. It's hot and it's dusty. The terrain is not easy to traverse. You are hungry and thirsty, but you're too afraid to stop. You want to get as far as you can before you have to stop for the night. You've heard stories about what you might encounter along the way, and you have taken precautions to make sure that you can ensure your safety as much as you can. And you begin to think to yourself just for a second that maybe it would have just been better to have stayed at home, to stay where you were. Maybe things could have gotten better. Perhaps it was safer there than what we might encounter now as we travel along. You know, as long as you were able to pay what was demanded of you, you could live in relative peace. And with what lies ahead, wouldn't that be just enough? If we could just placate those in power, perhaps violence and human trafficking could be avoided. Maybe knowing the evil that is inflicted is better than the evils that are unknown. And just as you think you have survived another day, gang members surround you, demanding you to pay a toll to continue on your way or to be held until that demand is met. They then rob you, strip you of your clothing, beat you, and leave you for dead. You can open your eyes. And just who is my neighbor? It seems that this question today holds a lot of weight. Just how does one define a neighbor? Is a neighbor just those who live or work in close proximity to where we live and work? Are our neighbors our peers and those who are closest to us in our social standings? And just how is one supposed to care for our neighbors? Jesus addresses these questions in the form of a parable. The parable isn't much different than the story I just told. In this parable, the expectations of just who the neighbor is challenged. Along the road from Jerusalem to Jericho, a man is found beaten and broken on the side of the road. We are found beaten and broken on the side of the road. Along this road, this broken body is discovered by three classes of people: a Levite, a priest, and a Samaritan. The two groups of people that one would most likely expect to stop and offer help to this beaten and broken body cross to the other side, wanting nothing to do with what they find. And this is the hard news. Just as we can find ourselves in that beaten and broken body, we can also find ourselves just like the Levite and the priest. Whether it's because we are trying to uphold some law, avoid anything that would profane the sacred, that would make us unclean, or that we are hesitant and unsure of just what to do to help someone found in such a way. Or the hardest truth to hear this morning is that maybe we are just unwilling to help. Unwilling for any number of reasons. Unwilling because we have nothing to offer. Unwilling because we are in a hurry. Unwilling because we are unsure of the intention of those asking. And sometimes we're just tired. Amy Jill Levin challenges these excuses. She says that neither Jesus nor Luke gives the priest or Levite an excuse, nor would any excuse be acceptable. And yet the one that ends up stopping and offering help is the one that no one saw coming. Jesus uses a Samaritan man to demonstrate just what a neighbor looks like. For the Jewish community, a Samaritan would be the last person that anyone would want to stop to provide them care. The Samaritan was seen as impure. Jews and Samaritans have nothing to do with one another. Samaritans and Jews avoid one another at all costs. And yet this Samaritan stops. He offers care. He takes our beaten and broken body to the inn and writes a blank check for our care, ensuring that all our needs are met, that he has provided food and shelter, hygiene, and continued medical care. Jason Biasi, Butler Chair in Homiletics and Biblical Hermeneutics at Vancouver School of Theology, writes, "The Samaritan who does good is our worst enemy. The Samaritan is a sellout, a member of the opposite political party. The Samaritan is a terrorist." And yet this Samaritan stops. The person we would least want to stop and offer us help does just that. When we are beaten and broken, bodies are found, it is those who we least expect or even want that stops to offer care, compassion, and mercy. It is Jesus, found in the person who is different from us, that stops and cares for us. Kenyatta Gilbert, founding director of the Preaching Project and former professor of homiletics at Howard University School of Divinity, writes that neighborliness is often found in the heart of socially disqualified people. Who knows? The social pariah next door may be our window of hope when we are left dead. And Jesus then asks the lawyer, which of these three was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? And after answering, Jesus instructs the lawyer to go and do likewise. We know what it is like to be the one broken and beaten on the side of the road. And Jesus has invited us to care for the downtrodden and the disenfranchised. Compassion and empathy are invited through the feelings of brokenness, abandonment, and loneliness. Martin Luther is known to have said that God does not need our good works, but our neighbor does. We love because God loved, and because of this, we love our neighbors just as God loved us. When we see the beaten and broken body on the side of the road, washed up on riverbanks and ocean beaches, torn from their families, we encounter God. When we offer care for those broken bodies, we are caring for God. We know what it is like to be broken, and we know what it is like to be cared for. We are joined together with the downtrodden and disenfranchised through our own brokenness. And we are joined together with Jesus through his brokenness, his humanity and death on the cross. And it is in this that we are called and empowered to care for those broken bodies we find along the road, to care for those washed up on riverbanks and ocean beaches, torn from their families, who are afraid to go to school and to nightclubs, who are living just as they were created to be. It is because of Christ's brokenness on the cross that we encounter care, compassion, and mercy. It is in this brokenness on the cross that we know unconditional love and grace. And it is through this brokenness that invites us in and empowers us to go and do likewise. Amen.
Thank you.
together, let us boldly confess our faith using the words of the Creed found on page 10 of your worship bulletins. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended to heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the
Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Joining our voices with God's people around the world, let us offer our prayers for those in need. For the Church, steadfast and faithful in its mission to proclaim redemption through Christ Jesus. For all ministers of the gospel who proclaim that the word is near. Strengthen the ministries of the Buffalo City Cluster. For Grace, North Park, Parkside, Resurrection, and Holy Trinity, let us pray.
Have mercy, O God.
For areas affected by drought or storms, for livestock and fields, for ranchers and farmers, and for all stewards of the earth, that as God's goodness is revealed in creation, we act with justice toward all creatures. Let us pray.
Have mercy, O God.
For lawyers and advocates, for local, regional, and national governments, and for peace throughout the world, that God send gracious and upright leaders to govern with mercy and truth. We pray especially for all men and women serving in the armed forces and their families. Let us pray.
Have mercy, O God.
For those who feel ashamed, for those who find it difficult to trust, for the bereaved and sick, that God provide compassionate and loving caregivers to all who suffer. And we pray for all those we now name out loud and those we remember in our hearts. For Gwen Shope, for the Genslers, for all those in Louisiana and the Gulf.
For people in internment camps, detention, and at the border.
Let us pray. Have mercy, O God, for the members of the body of Christ in this place, for those who do good works in our midst, and for those who are visiting and those who are absent, that the Holy Spirit guide all the journeys of our lives, let us pray.
Have mercy, O God.
For all of us, the young and young at heart, for your daughters and sons, including the children of our community, and especially Christian and Jeremy, let us pray.
Have mercy, O God.
For our ancestors who have inspired us by the lives of faith, that thankful for their witness we can confidently proclaim our salvation, let us pray.
Have mercy, O God.
Merciful God, you hear the prayers of your people even before they are spoken. We commend these and all our prayers to you, trusting in your abundant mercy through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
We share a sign of that peace with one another.
Thanks, Evan. We'll come pick us up.
I know we normally do not have these during our summer months and our summer worship, but this morning we are having a special stewardship moment because it's always a good time to be reminded of the gifts that we have to offer and the gifts that we bring forth. So I would like to welcome our chairwoman, chairperson of our stewardship committee, Uli McDonald.
Good morning. Today, I brought a small plaque with me, and of course, obviously, you cannot read it. On the front, it says, "Beautiful minds inspire others." And on the back, it reads, "Dear School 17 volunteer, thank you for your patience as you helped us to bloom. Thank you for giving from your heart, time, and energy to the students at School number 17. You have truly made life easier for many children in our school community. With appreciation, the principal, teachers, and staff at School 17. We received this plaque a few weeks ago when Ethan and I, together with Heather Miller and Griffin, attended a spaghetti dinner fundraiser at School 17. And I wish all of you could have been there, since we were treated like royalty. Everybody seemed to know about Holy Trinity. The principals, the staffs that were there, the teachers, whenever we said we are from Holy Trinity, their eyes just lit up and they go, "Holy Trinity Lutheran, thank you, thank you, thank you. You do so much for us." We have a coat closet there. We provide Christmas gifts for needy kids. We help for their graduation. And they are so thankful. As I said, I wish you could have been there. I mean, you give. You always give. But you don't see the kids. You don't go to the school. So I bring thanks to you for all that you do from School 17. And I also hope that you are enjoying your summer so far. And since it is summer and many of you will be traveling, I just want to remind everyone who is going out of town to consider enrolling in an electronic giving plan so that you can rest assured that your support for Holy Trinity will continue whether you are camping or whether you are traveling halfway around the world. So that option is always there for you. And also, please prayerfully consider making a special one-time summer offering this year to help support Vacation Bible School that is coming up in August. There is a lot of work and expense that goes into this faith-forming event to raise the next generations of Lutherans that Sue Bunn so wonderfully orchestrates. Thank you, Sue. If you would like to contribute more tangible items, there are donation baskets for VBS outside the chapel. And this year, we are looking for children's books, for travel-sized toiletries, and for pajamas for all ages. So if you have any of those items and would like to share, we are gratefully accepting those. I think used books would be fine, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I hope it gives you joy to know that God's work has been done and people's lives have really been changed because of your generous giving. And I continually pray and give thanks for all of you and your faithful service. We would not be here without the support from each of you. Again, thank you and God bless.
Thank you.
Let us pray together. Blessed are you, O God, for the greening earth given for all, for the talents we are given to share, and for this bread and wine. Transform us to be the body of Christ, that feasting on this food and drink, our lives may reflect your generosity. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. God, we praise you. Let the heavens be joyful and the earth be glad. We bless you for creating the whole world, for your promises to your people Israel, and for Jesus Christ in whom your fullness dwells. Born of Mary, he shares our life. Eating with sinners, he welcomes us. Guiding his children, he leads us. Visiting the sick, he heals us. Dying on the cross, he saves us. Risen from the dead, he gives new life. Living with you, he prays for us. The night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. When you drink from this cup, do it in remembrance of me." With thanksgiving, we take this bread and this cup and proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us that this meal may be a communion in the body and blood of our Lord. Make us one with Christ and with all who share this feast. Unite us in faith. Encourage us with hope. Inspire us to love, that we may serve as your faithful disciples until we feast at your table in glory. We praise you, eternal God, through Christ, your word made flesh, in the holy and life-giving spirit, now and forever.
Amen.
Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread,
and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you.
The body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Let us pray together. O God, in this holy communion, you have welcomed us into your presence, nourished us with the words of mercy, and fed us at your table. Amid the cares of this life, strengthen us to love you with our whole heart, serve our neighbors with a willing spirit, and honor the earth you have made. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Gracious God, loving all your family with a mother's tender care, as you sent the angel to feed Elijah with heavenly bread, assist those who were set forth from this assembly to share your word and sacrament with those who are sick, homebound, and imprisoned. In your loving care, nourish and strengthen those to whom we bring this sacrament, that through the body and blood of your Son, we all may know the comfort of your abiding presence. Amen. Live your lives in Christ, rooted and built up in him, and abound in thanksgiving, and the blessing of the Holy Trinity, one God, be upon you and remain with you forever. Amen.
Go in peace. Christ is sending you. Thanks be to God.